We continue the shiur in Gemara.
Last shiur we spoke about a number of dates that the Gemara gave us, and very strange statements. The Gemara said that Mashiach is coming at a certain date. Another rabbi stated he's coming at a different date. The third one gave us a third date, and so on. Now Mashiach is coming only on one date. He can only come once. How do we have this seeming discrepancy? The answer is, as we explained, every one of these dates is true. Mashiach would come at the earliest date, that's the scheduled time, if the Jews will deserve it, if they will merit it. If at that time the Jews will not merit it, very sadly that time is postponed to the second date. If at that time again they do not merit it, it goes on to the third date, and so on. These are scheduled periods. However, there is an unscheduled period, which means that Mashiach can come at any moment at all. If suddenly the Jews, all of them, or even a number of them, would perform the act of sincere tshuva, the Mashiach would come instantaneously, instant Mashiach. I believe, for example, that let's say if you have a group like this, everyone at one moment would go to the barber and clear off everything. I'm sure it could bring Mashiach immediately, or attest to that effect. Now, to go back to one statement, the first date given was, the Gemara says that they asked Eliyahu HaNavi, the other prophets asked, by one of the rabbis in the Gemara, can you tell me when Mashiach is coming? What better authority can you have than Eliyahu himself? He said, yes, the date of his coming is after 85 Yovels. A Yovel means 7 Shemitahs. The Shemitah is 7 years. We have 7 year cycles. 6 years when we plow the fields. 7th year, the field must rest. We're not allowed to work the fields because the fields too have their Shabbos. Fields Shabbos is the 7th year. It's the year of Shemitah. After 7 Shemitahs, that means after 49 years, we have 1 year called Yovel. That's the 50th year. The 50th is like corresponds to the degrees of Kedusha of holiness. 49 degrees of holiness. 50th degree of holiness is the holiest. Just as we have the 49 days counting of the Omer, 50th day is Shavuos, that's called the Yovel of Torah. We have a Yovel, each Yovel is 50 years. And the Levi said after 85 Yovels, Mashiach will come. Now, 85 times 50 is 4,250. This was the first date given. First possible date he could have come was at the year 4,250. That date, very sadly, is gone. So, we missed the first possible date. Now, why that first one? Exactly why 85 Yovels? Very important question. What is so remarkable about that number, 85 Yovels? Mefarshim say that this corresponds to the parsha in the Torah. We have chapters in the Torah, the long ones and short ones. Shortest chapter in the Torah, outstanding chapter, is the chapter of Vayehi ben Soa Ha'aron, Vayomer Moshe. It is so important, the chapter. We say it every time we take out the Sefer Torah. Even so, Horam and the Aron moved in the desert. Yom Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Tumah Hashem, rise Hashem, let your enemies be scattered. Shuv Hashem, return Hashem. This parsha of two psukim, two sentences, contains 85 letters. This is so vital, so important, it is so basic that these 85 letters correspond to the 85 Yovels at which time Mashiach will come. How come that Vayehi ben Soa Ha'aron should determine the coming of Mashiach? What is special about that parsha? See the simple statement the Gemara says. The Gemara tells us that there is a debate, very few are aware of this. You ask a person, ask any Jew, do you know about the books, so-called books of Moshe Rabbeinu? How many books of Moshe Rabbeinu are there? They are known as Chumashim. How many Chumashim are there? The average person, who is very learned, he's gone to school, will say, why, there are 5. We should ask the question here. I'm sure we get most of you to know that. Yet the Gemara says there is a debate. among the rabbis of the Gemara. Some say five. One rabbi says, Judah says, Chotzva Amudeha Shiva. There are not five chamashim, there are seven. How do we get seven? We have the first three, Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, three chamashim. The last one, Devarim, that's four. The next to the last, known as Bamidbar, if counted as one, we have a total of five. But it is not counted as one, the Gemara says, because in the middle of Bamidbar, we have the Parsha of Vayhi ben Soa Ha'aron. And therefore, until Vayhi ben Soa is considered one chumash, Vayhi ben Soa itself, that Parsha is considered another chumash, and from there till the end of Bamidbar is considered a third chumash. Three plus the other four is seven. Note then, therefore, that of the chamashim in the Torah, equal value is placed upon this one parsha of Ibn Soa. 85 letters, this is considered a chamash, a whole chamash. What makes this short parsha of two sentences more important than any other parsha of the Torah? You take the parsha of the Kriyat Shema, Shema Yisrael, nobody will say that's a whole chumash. Take the parsha of the Aseres Hadibros, the Ten Commandments. Nobody says that's a whole chumash. This one is. Why are these two sentences so vital, so outstanding? This is an entire chumash. Abnosazel says because this represents true emunas chachamim, the lesson in having faith in the chachamim. How? Abedadel says that we have the Membeis Masos in the end of Bamidbar, the last parasha we have Masai, 42 journeys that the Jews made in the desert. They start with Eile Masai B'nai Yisrael. These are the journeys that the Jews made in the desert. These, the word Eile is a very famous word. It represents the sin of the golden calf, Eile L'kecha Yisrael. Benedal says that the sin of idol worship is punishable by going into gullus, exile, traveling, moving from place to place. And if a person is punished through gullus, that is the tikkun for the sin. The sin is then erased. So in this case, the penalty is the correction. Therefore, Eile Masai B'nai Yisrael, the travels and journeys, they cover for the sin of idol worship, which means a lack of faith. That's idol worship. Lack of faith in Hashem, and this lack of faith is corrected, amended, by the tzaddikim, the chachamim. Emunas tzaddikim, therefore, v'ibin soa ha'oron. When the oron kodesh moved, that's the Torah, v'yom Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, the Jews accepted and believed. This was the basis for Emuna, faith, and this corrected all the worst flaws, the worst transgressions possible of idol worship. This is the importance of Vayhi ben Soa. The Zohar HaKadosh says, let's go a little deeper, just for a moment, we don't want to tax your mind. Zohar HaKadosh says, how do we see Emunas Chachamim, Emunas Tzaddikim from here? Because we know, Kaviyochol, the name of Hashem, we have Kucha Brichu Ushchinte, Hashem, the Shechinah, known as the King and Queen. The Spirit of Hashem is called the Queen, Hashem is called the King, and that's the Vav and the He of Hashem's name. Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Vav King, He Queen. Now Hashem says, in the Gemara, Mi Tzadik Moshe of Yiras Elokim, Hashem says, I rule over the entire world. I reign supreme. I rule over everything in existence. In that case, Hashem says, who rules over me? If I reign supreme, who rules over me? Hashem says further, Tzadik Moshe be. Tzadik Moshe be yours in the kin. A tzadik rules over me. Because when Hashem issues a decree, a tzadik can pray, daven, and voids that decree. If a tzaddik issues a decree, if a tzaddik places a curse upon a person or a blessing, Kaviyochol Hashem must fill that blessing. Must meaning that he does. Because of the chashivus, the importance, the value that Hashem places on a tzaddik. Hashem, in His greatness, infinite greatness and heavenly modesty, humbleness, says, a tzaddik rules over me, I fulfill the bidding of a tzaddik. This means then, as Zohar HaKadosh says, we find, when Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, remove your shoes, when he came to the mountain, Mount Sinai, to the burning thorn bush, this meant, separate yourself from your wife. You are now going to receive a new bride. Your bride will now be the Shekhinah. You are the master of the Shekhinah. Kaviyachol, the chasson, the husband, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Vav in Hashem's name. Where do we find this statement? Zohar HaKadosh, because it says in the last chapter of the Torah, Zos HaBracha Asher Berach Moshe Ish Holokim. Moshe Rabbeinu was Ish. Ish means husband. Ish Holokim, the husband of the Shekhinah. The husband in Hebrew is Baal, the master. He is the master of Shekhinah. And therefore, this is all proven, all shown. A master is one who gives an order. The order is fulfilled. And this parsha of Hebrew Sohar of Yom Moshe, Kumo Hashem. Who dares tell Hashem, rise Hashem, Shuva Hashem? Only the master. So we see the greatness of a tzaddik, something that we cannot fathom, we cannot conceive. It's only that Hashem tells us we are supposed to have this emunah, this faith. It is this faith that is shown in these two sentences, in these 85 letters, and therefore this parsha is so vital and so important. In addition, note that this parsha specifically is outstanding, exclusive, shown so in the Sefer Torah. If you see it in the Sefer Torah, it starts with the letter Nun on the side, an inverted Nun, and ends with the letter Nun. A Nun on both sides. This Nun stands for the 50th degree of wisdom. It stands for the Nun of Yovel, 50 years of Yovel. To show, to symbolize that this Parsha, 85 letters of Nun Yovel, if the Jews would have had that true faith in the tzaddik emes, in the tzaddikim, they would have had Moshiach in these 85 times the Nun of Yovel. But very sadly, we have not. Worse than that, you go a step further, we have not had Moshiach then. We have not had Moshiach in the subsequent dates given to us in the Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh. What we have had is the exact contrary. We have had false rumor, known as false Moshiachs, who rose up to claim they were Moshiach, or false claims about the coming of Moshiach, and this is the greatest hazard, greatest danger for Jews. When a person who is not fit, not the authority, gets up and says, I have figured out, mathematically or otherwise, the exact date of the coming of Moshiach, through my calculations, that person is committing a wrong that is harmful to the entire Jewish people. The Benedel says that if a person states a prediction of a certain year Mashiach will come, he does so much harm, because if that prediction is given out, the Mashiach will not come that year. Except, of course, the ones mentioned in the Gemara. These are authorities, the rabbis of the Gemara, these are the tzaddikim, the only few to whom Hashem did reveal the potential dates, but not the date. The date is not written. The exact date of Mashiach's coming is not mentioned in the Torah openly. For this, Hashem says, "Mi libi lepumul egayah." Hashem Himself says that I have this date in my heart. Kaviyachol, to use this term, because we cannot use physical terms about Hashem. Hashem says, "I have this date in my heart. I have not allowed my heart to reveal this date to my mouth," which means I have not spoken this date. Nosanzel explains this to mean that the tzaddikim are called part of Hashem, kaviyachol. Certain ones are called the hands of Hashem, eyes of Hashem, and so on. The tzaddikim who are called the mouth of Hashem, those who possess the power of tefillah, of prayer, and Torah, and the highest tzaddikim are the ones that are called the heavenly heart, lev ha'ayin. So Hashem says, I have revealed the date only to the heart. The holiest tzaddikim, one and each generation knows the date. But no others. Others who claim to know it, they must be lying, because any tzaddik who knows the date will not reveal it. And he who does reveal a date does so because he does not know it. He who states a date does not know the date. We find this statement in the Gemara itself. After all the Tanoim, the later rabbis of the Gemara, says Rabbi Zera, when he found the rabbis of the Gemara discussing the coming of Mashiach, and trying to arrive at a date, a potential date, seeking the definite date, he said to them, I beg of you, please do not discuss this, because you are removing, you're postponing the date of Mashiach's coming by discussing it. Why? Because the Gemara states very emphatically, Mashiach will come unexpectedly, when he is least expected. Mashiach will come very suddenly. People will be discussing matters that pertain to business, to other items. At that moment, their minds will be off it completely, and very suddenly, like a thunderbolt, he'll be here. Mashiach will come. So this must be a case of Hesach Hadas, when the mind is not thinking about it. If you're going to give a date and a time, people will be on the alert at that moment. He could not come when they are alerted for him. As the Gemara says, there are three things that come to a person suddenly. Three items. One is Mashiach, who will come suddenly, unexpectedly. Second is a treasure that is found. You find the treasure. You walk along looking for $100 bill on the floor, you will not find it. But if you don't look for it, when you least expect to, you look down, you find a $1 bill. You find whatever treasure you'll find will be where you don't expect to find it. Third item, it comes unexpectedly, without any pre-warning whatsoever, is the poisonous bite of a scorpion. Scorpion is not a rattlesnake. He is much worse than a rattlesnake, because a rattlesnake warns before it strikes. Scorpion does not. This statement we find throughout the Gemara. By the way, the Zohar Kodesh explains why. The Zohar Kodesh says, because a rattlesnake is male, scorpion is female, the bite of the female is much more potent than the male. So these three items are items that come only unexpectedly. Above all, Mashiach. Now why does the Gemara mention these three together? To tell us that the two latter items, the tzia, which means a treasure, is something very good. A scorpion is something bad, possibly fatal. Mashiach can come in one of these two forms. Either he can come in the form of Metzia, which means when the Jews will be good, they will repent, they will do tshuva, they'll be deserving, and this will be to their benefit, or Mashiach can come suddenly like a scorpion a strike. Because the Gemara says that if Mashiach comes at a time when there'll be a lack of emunah, lack of faith among Jews, then woe is to those who do not believe in his coming. Those who mocked the idea of Mashiach's coming. Those who had no faith in his coming, when he does come, he will come with the purpose of destroying those who lack that faith. So to the good, it will be a treasure. To the evil, to the faithless, it will be and a deadly strike of a scorpion. Point is, Rabbi Zeta said, do not discuss the date of Mashiach's coming, because you can only do harm. It is for us to know that if we are told by any eminent authority, so-called authority, or so-called genius who claims to have figured out by calculations or by gematrios, numerical values of letters and so on, he has discovered the date of Mashiach's coming, know definitely, without the slightest shadow of doubt, that person is lying. It is definitely not the truth. The Gemara says, to take this further, stress this point further. Gemara says there is a pasuk that is so penetrating it goes down to the depth of creation itself. This pasuk says that there is a time established for Moshiach's coming. Wait for that coming. There is no question about it. It is the truth that he will come. If there is a delay in his coming, if you've waited, if your patience has become thin from waiting, retain that patience. Do not lose hope, because you have a guarantee, an absolute assurance, that Moshiach will eventually come. Of this we are certain. Come he must. Come he will. When? It depends upon ourselves and our faith. Gemara says it will not be as some rabbis claimed, pasuk which says in Daniel. Of course, those who are acquainted with Daniel know that this is the source of all predictions. In Daniel, we have the story of Daniel who had a vision in which he was told by an angel, these are the figures, I give you the exact figures of Mashiach's coming. Strange combination of words with figures, with numbers. And those who believe that they are mathematical geniuses figure this out. And here the Gemara says those who tried to figure this out, even some of the rabbis of the Gemara were mistaken. Because in these words is one sentence which they thought was the secret of a date where it says, Ad Idon the Idonin uplag Idon. An era plus two eras plus a half era of Golos after the destruction of the second Holy Temple. An era, they said, represents the exact time of Golos, the 400 years of Golos from the Golos of Egypt. Was supposed to have totaled 400 years. Of course, 190 was removed, was subtracted. Actually, Golos was 210. But the Golos really was supposed to have started at a certain time to add up to 400 years. And multiplying that, Edom is once 400. Plus twice 400, that means plus 800 is 1200, plus half of that era is 200 more, which is a total of 1400. Rambam said that the Golos of the second Holy Temple will last 1400 years and no more. And of course, that was not so. The time has passed. Second rabbi, Rabbi Shmuley, said that Batashkema b'dmos sholish, Hashem gave us the tears of triple the amount of tears. Triple, which means that plus 10, a total, mathematically, a total of 1410 years, but this too has passed by, and they were mistaken. These items are mistaken, they are not to be, there should be no attempt at calculating them. The true, faithful Jew is he who believes that Mashiach is coming right now, who believes that implicitly. And as Abinadol says, it is possible for a person to actually have Mashiach come. Actually come means that a person has purified himself so that it is not his fault that Mashiach is being delayed. As far as he is concerned, if all were like him, Mashiach would be here. Which means that every person has a part in Mashiach. So his part has already arrived. As far as he's concerned, he has completed his part in having Mashiach come. And the Gemara says further, there is a curse placed by the Gemara upon those who attempt to figure out the date of Mashiach's coming. Curse is tipach atzmon, may the bones of that person rot. The sense rot, or may it fall apart, or may his atzmon also means the inside, may he breathe his last. It's a very serious type of curse. But still, in essence, it refers to the bone. Why the bone? The answer is because this person has desecrated the faith in the coming of Mashiach, the faith in Tchias HaMesim, the dead come back to life after Mashiach's coming, and the dead come back to life only through that one bone called Etzem Luz, the top of the spine of a person, and one little bone which is indestructible. person is buried, the entire body disintegrates, but that one bone remains till Mashiach comes, till the dead come back to life. And here the curse is, let that bone too rot away, because this person is not deserved to rise at Tchias HaMesim. This, of course, will explain also very clearly why we have a similar curse. The Gemara says that Hashem is patient. He waits. Hashem gives an order to a good Jew, says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, when should a good Jew get married? Ben Shmona Esrei Lachuppah, the age of 18. Difficult to get married at that age, exactly on the 18th birthday. So the Gemara says, Hashem is patient, He'll give you time. Hashem will wait. The exact wording, Hashem will wait until a person is 20 years old. At the age of 20, Hashem says these words, Tipach Atzmosa, let that person's bone rot. That special bone, why? Why should that bone rot? Why so heavy a curse to a person who did not fulfill this mitzvah? The answer is because the Gemara says very clearly that Mashiach cannot come until all the neshamas in Guf have been exhausted, have been used up. Guf is the name of a special place in heaven where all the souls are stored. Every time that a person is born, a soul is taken from that storehouse, injected into this body, and that body comes to life. When all those souls in that section of heaven are used up, then Mashiach will come. Now, a person who does not get married, who does not produce children, is automatically delaying the coming of Mashiach, because if he would get married and have children, he's hastening, expediting the coming of Mashiach. Therefore, Hashem says, do you think that you want Mashiach to come? I want Mashiach to come more than you do. And you are keeping back, you're holding back the fulfillment of my desire. Therefore, Tipach Atzmosa. The Gemara says, in that case then, we see from here that we surely want Mashiach to come. Hashem surely wants Mashiach to come. Hashem wants, and we want. Who is the one that's holding him back? Why doesn't he come? Your answer is, we all want, but there is the Midas Hadin, the Satan, the sign of evil, the Yitzhahara, who has the privilege of battling against this degree of holiness. And if we succumb to the Satan's persuasion, the Yitzhahara, in this battle, and he is victorious, temporarily, of course. This is the power that the Satan has, and the power that constitutes a constant battle of a Jew during his lifetime. In this battle, it's up to us to realize that if we will overcome the Satan in this battle, then we will have the rejoicing on the part of Hashem and the Jews together. Ira says that there is a pasuk, Ashrei kol chochei lo. Ashrei to those, blessed are those who wait for the coming of Mashiach. And the Gemara says the word lo is 36, which means that there must be always in every generation at least 36 extremely holy tzaddikim who actually receive the Shekhinah. They communicate with the Shekhinah in every generation. They are ones who are closer to Hashem than anyone else in the world. These 336 tzaddikim. Of course, they are generally hidden. It is known from the words of the Baal Shem Tov, these 36 are hidden in each generation. They are not known, they do not reveal themselves. But there must be 36 in each generation. Gemara asks, why do you say 36? If another statement says that there are many thousands of great tzaddikim who also are close to Hashem. The Gemara answers that there is a difference between ones who are really close to Hashem, which means that there is a much greater proximity. They can feel actually feel the Shekhinah, the spirit of Hashem, something that's impossible to describe. This is not something that a physical person or a physical mind can conceive. But these tzaddikim who have risen to this status can actually visit heaven at will. To them, their soul is something that they can feel physically. To us, our soul is, in a sense, divorced from our body. We cannot feel the spiritual, we cannot sense it. These tzaddikim can, and they can communicate with the Shekhinah, with the Spirit of Hashem, with their soul, while they are fully conscious. Gemara asks now, how can you say that there are that many tzaddikim if we have a statement by Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal, who said, I have studied the world, I have studied the tzaddikim, and I find that there are very few. If there are 1,000 tzaddikim in the world, then I and my son are two of that 1,000. If there are only 100 in the world, I and my son are part of that 100. If there are only 2 tzaddikim, this highest status in the world, those 2 are myself and my son. And this, of course, Rishon Yechoi Zal, we just celebrated the Hilul Lag Bomer, and as is known, Shmi Choyazal was the holiest of the tzaddikim in his time, the author of the Kabbalah, the Zohar HaKadosh, and this statement should not be misconstrued, chas v'shalom, as one of immodesty, because this is the same statement as Moshe Rabbeinu could say, who could write about himself in the Torah, Vayish Moshe Ono Miyod. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most modest person, the most humble person in the world, write that and not feel any degree of haughtiness, conceit about it. This was a statement of fact by Rav Shimon Yochai, as I was said, two of us, my son and myself, are the pillars that hold up the world, support the world. There are some mefarshim who interpret this to mean, as it says in Pirkei Avos, the world exists upon 3 pillars that support the world, support all of creation. And what he meant was that the Shekhinah, myself and my son, are the 3 pillars. This, however, is in complete disagreement with the Zohar HaKadosh, where a much clearer statement is said. The statement is finished off. Shmuel Choizal says, if there are 2, it is myself and my son. But more likely, he said, there is only 1. Because the pasuk says, Tzadik Yisod Olam. A tzaddik is the foundation of all of creation. It all rests upon the tzaddik. Why did Hashem create the world? Not for the sake of the animals in the world, for the sake of humans. Not for the sake of the humans who are opposed to Hashem's teachings, but for the sake of those who are in accordance. Not for the sake of the Amei Ha'aretz, but for the sake of the Tamid Hacham, the wise, the holy ones, the saintly type. And of these holy ones, there is the main one upon which the entire world rests, that is called the Tzaddik Emes. This was Rav Shimon Yochai Zal. The Gemara asks, if that's the case, how about this former statement that we say there were 36, and here we have 2 or even 1? The answer is that there is a difference between those 36 and this Tzaddik Emes. Those 36 can actually communicate with Hashem, but they cannot at every given second, at every given moment. They require bar, which means reshus, permission. The tzaddik emes is aisle below bar. Without permission at all, he can go in to speak to Hashem at any given time, directly communicate with Hashem. In addition to, others translate bar to mean that very few were zecha to have a son as great as themselves. The aisle of bar means, Shmuel Choizal said, I go into Hashem with my son, who is, in a sense, my equal. Gemara says now that speaking about all these dates, times of Mashiach's coming, let us establish the final rule. Let's erase all the statements about dates, established time of Mashiach's coming. Let's make it clear that it depends purely upon one single item. Mashiach, of course, there is a certain time will come, but his coming depends upon tshuva. If the Jews will do tshuva, that's when Mashiach will come. Now this would mean to imply that chas v'shalom, if the Jews will not do tshuva, they cannot expect to see Mashiach coming. Mashiach will come if they do tshuva. What if you have a world filled with people who just don't do tshuva? They hold back Mashiach's coming forever? The Gemara of Yeshua says, Chas v'sholom, Mashiach must come at a certain time. We have learned previously that this world was created with a deadline, not to last forever. Hashem created the world and created it to last for a given explicit time. The maximum time is 6,000 years. So Mashiach must come prior to that time. Now, we say that he'll come only if Jews do tshuva, yes. But if they do tshuva, he will come. If they do not do tshuva, Hashem will force them to do tshuva. How? Hashem will let rise up a wicked king, a wicked ruler, who will torment, persecute the Jews until they'll be forced to turn and come crying to Hashem for assistance. Crying to Hashem, those who had no faith, they will turn to Hashem now with complete faith and plead to Hashem, help us, this is faith, and this is tshuva, and this is what will bring Mashiach. We have seen this in our time when the Jews were attacked during the days of the Holocaust. At that time we saw the least religious Jews turn to complete faith in Hashem. Apparently, the time was not yet ripe, it was not real tshuva. We saw it again when the Jews were defending their lives in Israel against such insurmountable odds, tens of millions of Arabs, enemies against them, and the miracle that we witnessed the last six-day war, a miracle which brought a lot of non-believers back into emunah, faith in Hashem. The tiny iota that is necessary yet is obviously taking place right now, a little left for tshuva, because we see now that it's not one country, it's not one ruler, it's not one group, it's a united effort on the part of the entire world. There is no exception. United Nations that are completely united. You have such diversified groups of different sections of the world that are so different in opinions and ideas, they could never be expected to get together on anything. Yet in this one single item, they have all joined forces, joined beliefs, as radical as it is. And that is that every one of these nations is united with the intent of attacking and eradicating the Jewish people, Chas v'Shalom. There is no exception. Even those who are allegedly our friends, who pretend to be our friends, in the long and short run, they reveal their true colors. So this is what's meant. Hashem will let rise up a leader, a world, an entire world, to turn against the Jews. There's no place to turn for a Jew after that. To whom will we turn for assistance? We go to the leaders of our allies, who are definitely against us, the leaders of the establishment, the leaders of the Kofrim, the Epikursim. Only one place to turn. It is not to the four corners of the earth, it's only a direction upwards, up to Hashem. That's the only escape, the only means of salvation for us. When all Jews will realize that, then we'll be deserving, will merit the coming of Mashiach readily. This is what Hashem is waiting for, and this is what is expected of us. Now this, too, what is meant when the Gemara says there are certain small details that are necessary to polish off the obstacles to the coming of Mashiach. One, the Gemara says Mashiach will come when all of the conceit will be erased from the world. Those who are very haughty and conceited, when they will cease to exist, Mashiach will come. Conceit, of course, means those who feel that they represent the leadership among the Jews even. You have those who are completely unfit to lead, who themselves are neither learned nor imbued with faith, nor adhere to the mitzvahs of the Torah, and they set themselves up as representatives of the entire Jewish people. As the Gemara says, Rabbi Nadal says, they cannot even lead themselves. They cannot even govern themselves, and they expect to be able to govern and lead the entire Jewish nation. They are unfit, and they must be set aside. When they are removed, then can Moshiach come. Because the Gemara says, those who have gaiva, this type of conceit, this type of haughtiness, this haughtiness repels the existence of the Shekhinah among the Jews. Hashem Kaviyachol cannot tolerate, cannot stand the stench of this type of gaiva, this conceit. Because of the removal of the Shekhinah, therefore the Golus. So when these Gasei HaRuach, these haughty types of people, undeserving ones, they are removed, at least when they are recognized for what they are, then Moshiach can come. Second item, which too is necessary, and which is obviously the final key, is, as the Pasuk says, Tzion b'mishpat tipode v'shaveha b'tzedakah. If the Jews today are in a sense weak, let us say that a Jew deep in his heart and mind realizes that he is doing wrong, he's not fulfilling the mitzvahs of Hashem properly, he would like to very much, but the tests and tribulations are so many, he tries and he falls victim to his desires, wrong type of these inclinations. Now, he tries to rise up to battle against it, and he is weak. What can he do to strengthen himself? What can he do to at least participate truly in bringing Moshiach? The answer is, the Gemara says, if a person is weak, if he cannot learn, he's unable to study Torah as is expected. All Jews should return to Torah. If he hasn't got the knowledge or the ability to daven, to learn, to fulfill mitzvahs with the proper kavona, there is one thing that is created that can take the place of this. A person should at least support those who do learn and thereby share in their study of Torah, which means that the key to the redemption of Tzion, of Israel, the key to the coming of Mashiach, to open that padlock that holds Mashiach back from coming, is tzedakah. If every Jew at least would give the proper amount of tzedakah, which is not much, it means a legal amount of 10% of his earnings, if each Jew would at least contribute that 10%, or more, in the goodness of his heart, this would ensure completely the coming of Mashiach. This would ensure the salvation of the Jews. This would ensure the saving of Yerushalayim, the holy city, from any outside attacks. This would ensure that the Jews will return to their place as the leaders of the world, as the leading nation preferred, loved by Hashem, with their king, their ruler, Moshiach. With our hope for Moshiach's coming, with our fulfilling this mitzvah, mitzvah of tshuva first. At least each one should give the prescribed amount of tzedakah, to give his utmost, to give with a full heart. With this, we can be assured that we will be zelcha in our time, now, to witness with our eyes the coming of Moshiach, the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, the Mapola, the downfall of all the enemies of the Jews, Yeshua, the victory for the Am Yisrael, and the Amen, the Amen.